If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/Zabe. Listeners have been emailing me about their great experiences when they visited a Tecovas store, the company renowned for upholding timeless traditions and delivering top-notch quality in every pair of cowboy boots. If you haven't experienced their exceptional craftsmanship firsthand, why wait any longer? Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have custom leather branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Winning season is rolling at MyBookie, and this week, entries are now open for the Winner Take All Super Contest. MyBookie is the only sportsbook that offers online super contests, so you can't miss out on this exclusive promotion. Enter now and turn $10 into $10,000. Weeks 5 through 8, make 5 picks against the spread. Get them right, earn points, and rise up the standings to take home the $10,000 grand prize. Packers, Bucks, Titans, Vikings, Ravens, boom, you're already set. And if you need another reason to head to mybookie.ag to celebrate the start of the MLB playoffs, MyBookie is hosting a $20,000 blackjack tournament that is absolutely free to enter. Winning season is here, so get in on the game and get to mybookie.ag now. Use my promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and when you make your first deposit at MyBookie, you'll receive double your deposit. That's promo code ZABE, so you can double your funds to double your winnings. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Today on the ZABEcast, call me a college football flat earther. Three top 10 teams go down on Saturday and more to come. Get your popcorn ready, says Lane Kiffin, but the real joke was on Urban Meyer doing some dirty dancing on his off day with the Jaguars. Andy Poland joins me on a Monday to help sort it all out. All that plus the pandemic is causing a clown shortage now. Your 30-minute ZABE Express is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Monday, October 3rd, 2021. Thank you for downloading. Today's podcast is being put to bed and packed up, edited, and delivered for your consumption at 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning. But you will have any of the NFL waiting for me at 4. You're right. I will not have any of that. Here's the reason. I am going to Lambeau Field today. It is an all-day affair. 2 hours driving up. Several hours of tailgating and drinking. Several hours of the game. A quick and nimble 3 minutes left in the game ale to the parking lot, and then 2 more hours back down to my hotel room, and then get to bed and pack up my bags as quick as I can because I'm flying back to DC after Monday's show. Kind of a day. And I decided, even though part of me said, well, just wait till you get home. Do half the podcast now. Wait till you get home. You can do a little brush up on the NFL games, and then everybody gets a little bit of something. But what happened last Thursday night cannot happen again. It's unacceptable. My effort last Thursday for the Friday podcast was unacceptable. No, I did not do You Are Looking Live because I did not spend the appropriate time prepping up the week's games. I kept saying to myself, well, I've got this, you know, we had a little welcome party, a kickoff party for Sunburn Bowl that I had to go to on Thursday night. And I just kept robbing one chunk of time to pay off somebody else. And it bit me in the end. And I'm not going to do that again. Here is an email from a listener and a subscriber, no less, that I took to heart. This from S. Whiteman. S. Whiteman. Simply this. Fucking shit show today, all caps. Do your fucking job and give us You Are Looking Live. Fuck Mr. X. Just fucking deliver proper NFL shows. He's not wrong. He is angry, but he's not wrong. I said, thank you. I will do better going forward. And this is my effort to do better. I wish I could be like the Barstool, pardon my take, guys, where they record at pretty much midnight at the end, I think at the end of every night, and then they sleep in comfortably, I'm sure, the next day. That's not my world. That's not my life. I do believe podcasts tend to be a delayed listening and a binge listening format of media. Not everybody. A lot of people every day. Zabe, I get you every day going in, first thing going in. And I appreciate that. But it's that tension between how current do I try to make the podcast versus how do I make sure I deliver it at a quality that satisfies me and, well, obviously Sean or S. Whiteman. I don't know if his name is Sean or not. And so I'm going to choose the route of delivering the best quality I can that's going to be probably 24 hours in advance. I'm probably going to put these podcasts to bed in the mornings. It'll make my life better as well, because if I can be done with the podcast and be done with my day and button everything up and then go have a bit of a life, play golf in the afternoons during the week, and then watch games at night, not worrying about, okay, what do I have? What am I doing? I got to pull bites. That'd be better for me. Like, I'm looking forward to being able to say a podcast is done. It's in the cloud. It's ready to go. Yeah, it doesn't have any NFL, but I get to go enjoy my day at Lambeau Field. And then Monday into Tuesday, I will give you all of the experience of Lambeau Field and all my thoughts on NFL week number 4 with the benefit of a full Monday to absorb and to think about and to collect the nuggets. I think it's much better than me trying to rush it out. So there's your programming note right there. Luckily, college football delivered a lot to chew on this weekend. Not one, not two, but three top 10 teams went down outright. Number 3, Oregon, in horrific fashion. More on that in a second. Number 8, Arkansas, just got obliterated by Alabama. And number 9, Notre Dame. We all knew, everyone knows Notre Dame's not that good. But Cincinnati, that's the biggest win in program history. You go into Notre Dame and you beat them when you're undefeated and they're scrapping. Cincinnati is like on the edge of maybe making the college football playoff as a group of 5 team. I don't think it's likely, but we'll see. Still early in the season. Remind me to get my guy, Bryant Hatcher, the former Cincinnati Bearcat, who I'm sure is over the moon right now with how his team is doing. And number 12, Ole Miss, got beat and got beat badly. More on that in just a second. But the top three teams in the top 10 go down. Number 6, Oklahoma, almost went down. And so I believe the college football landscape is flatter than it's ever been. There are 2 big mountain peaks right now, and that is Alabama and Georgia. There used to be 3 big mountain peaks in Clemson, but I don't know what's happened to them right now. They're taking a little walk in the woods. Is it going to be a long walk in the woods with Dabo? We'll find out. But right now, they're not very good. They barely escaped again this weekend, Clemson did. So you got the two big peaks. Otherwise, the landscape is flat. And it's flat for a variety of reasons. But Oregon, this is classic Oregon. So I played golf on Saturday while listening to the Badger game. A little bit on them in a second. And one of the guys I played with, even though he's from Wisconsin, he was born in Portland, so he decided that even though he left there when he was 4 years old, he was going to stay an Oregon Ducks fan. So we're talking it up and like, how you feeling? You know, you good? He's like, yeah, my boy Tibbs is coming back today. He's a monster. And, I think we're going to be good. But, you know, at some point, he said, down the road, we're going to screw up against a bad team. It's just classic Oregon. Well, that day happened to be, Saturday. Against Stanford. Here's the situation. Oregon led 24-17 with 2:18 left, and they got the ball at the plus 39. I believe they got it on turnovers, on downs. But up 7, 2:18 left, plus side of the field, and remember, there's no 2-minute warning in college. They proceeded then to have two false starts in a row. They threw an incompletion to stop the clock. On defense, they were then called for targeting. They were called for pass interference in the end zone. And at the end of the day, they had given up a 96-yard touchdown and lost a 96-yard touchdown drive and then lost in overtime. That, my friends, is a Hindenburg. That is a, okay, everything's good, just bring the ship into port. Oh, my God, the humanity! Oh, no! And that's how college football is. Clemson, as I said, is wandering right now a bit. LSU, Miami, Florida, Florida State. These are all powerhouse, iconic programs. Florida losing to Kentucky. Kentucky has not beaten Florida in how many years? Like 30 years. Incredible game last night. So Alabama and Georgia are clearly the 1-2. Penn State beat Indiana 24-0. I think they're a little bit of an imposter team, but they're undefeated. Iowa ripped Maryland. We're going to talk to Andy about that in just a second on Friday night. Oklahoma escapes a near upset of their own against K-State on a day that they induct the great Jordy Nelson into the Ring of Honor. And then, at least I think they did. Let me caution. I was looking up at a TV that was on mute, and then they showed the Jordy Nelson thing, and maybe he's been in there a while. I'm just riffing right now. I got to get that nailed down. Thought you were going to make this a good podcast. Shut your mouth. So Oklahoma nearly loses, but they're in that 4-5 range. We'll see what the polls say today. They're not out yet. And then Ohio State, which lost earlier to Oregon, is going to loop back into the conversation, and then Cincinnati is on the edge as well. Now to the Badgers real quick. They were terrible against Michigan. Terrible in many ways. And on top of that, they lose their starting quarterback, Graham Mertz. Even though he had been under fire for not being very good, they may end up ruining the day that they even said a bad word about Graham Mertz because of his backup, Chase Wolf. Yeah, that's his real name. Chase Wolf. It's Wolf season. Oh! If Chase Wolf is even worse, then it's going to be an absolute uphill grind to get to 6-6 in the Blue Bonnet Bowl, if the Blue Bonnet Bowl still exists, which I don't know if it does or not. So they were terrible running the football, and they were obviously terrible blocking because Mertz got blown up and left the game. Jake Ferguson, their All-American tight end, got hurt, left the game. And now, you know, the schedule is front-loaded for Wisconsin, so they knew it was going to be tough out of the gate. And you could argue, hey, they had Penn State dead to rights in the opener, let them off the hook. And they were up 13-10 against Notre Dame on the road. And then they had a Hindenburg-like fourth quarter. You could argue that Wisconsin could be 3-1 real easy. And that's true. But what did Bill Parcells always say? You are what your record says you are. So they can't run the football, which has been Wisconsin's calling card, obviously, the last 20-plus years I mean, all the great backs they put in the NFL, Jonathan Taylor, Melvin Gordon, Monte Ball, Ron Dame, including other guys that have been good like James White and others, they can't run the ball right now. On running plays, on called running plays, two running backs, they generated gains of 3-3-3, 2-2-1-4, 2-2-0, 2-7-9-1-6-3-1-0-5-1-5-2-0. That's pathetic for Wisconsin football. Wisconsin football is all about the running game. It's all about breaking open those big back-breaking runs, 20, 30, 50, 70 to the house. Nothing. Also, they averaged 4 yards per carry against Penn State. Not their best, but at least within the ballpark of decent. Then 2.9 per carry against Notre Dame. Now down to 2.7 yards per carry against Michigan. They're not what they have been over the years. And it was a day in which they honored Barry Alvarez by saying they will name Camp Randall's field Barry Alvarez Field at Camp Randall Stadium. Well-deserved honor. And Barry is the reason that Wisconsin has nice things, so to speak. But here's the shocker. When a program that's been good for a long time gets bad quickly for whatever reason, a ripple in the recruiting stream, a coach who doesn't quite jibe with what the program is all about or what the school is all about, it's cold, man. It's like I was listening to the radio broadcast while playing golf. And the great Matt LaPay, who just tried to, didn't want to sugarcoat how bad this season could end up being, but at the same time wanted to reflect upon the fact that the reason this is so jarring is because they've been so good, solid, dependable the last 20 years. This is going to feel uncomfortable. Oh, by the way, it's October 2nd, and the last undefeated team in the ACC is Wake Forest. Don't know if you could have cooked up a prop bet on that, but if you could have, you would have won a lot of money. October 2nd, the Pac-12 is out of undefeated teams. Out entirely. Don't have one of them. And oh, by the way, last year on October 2nd, every Pac-12 team was undefeated. So there's a stark difference. There's a pandemic last year. They didn't play. I mean, they didn't play until much later. Oh, that's right. And then when it comes to winless, there's Urban Meyer. 0-4 with the Jaguars. Thursday night, close loss, field goal dagger by the Bengals. And then he took a fifth loss over the weekend. And for that, we bring in Andy Paulding.
Hello,
Andy. Who would you rather be this morning, Lane Kiffin or Urban Meyer?
Good question. Well, I don't think there are any domestic issues that I know about with Lane Kiffin. There are some questionable ones with Urban Meyer. So I'll take Lane Kiffin for 100.
Right, exactly. Urban's making more money, but he is in a much dicier public persona situation than Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin just did a dumbass thing by pulling the tail of the tiger, or the elephant, I guess would be the case because it is Alabama, by saying get your popcorn ready and then dropping the headset as he walked off the pregame interview. What a cocky dick! It was 28-0. Before you could blink an eye.
Well, in fairness to him, he did have a good game plan. That hurry up was working, but the 4th-and-1 stop that Alabama made at like the 5-yard line.
Well, wait a minute. In fairness to him, the up tempo is working, but they got down 28-0, Andy.
Understand. No, in retrospect, he looks like a complete schmuck. But if you watch the game, he did seem to have a good game plan. And had they scored there, I'm not saying they wouldn't have gotten blown out, but it might have been a little bit more interesting.
Yeah. By the way, Lane Kiffin is also divorced. Now, when it comes to Urban Meyer, we'll see if this episode, which we're going to get to in a second,
ends up landing home domestically. But let's stay on Kiffin for a second. So he does the get your popcorn ready, and then he gets blown out. Alabama's mascot comes out in some kind of popcorn outfit. Like, how do they even have that ready, by the way?
Oh, well, you know, they're Alabama. They're
quick, I want get me a popcorn skirt for our mascot so we can rub it in the face by the fourth quarter.
Coach Saban has asked for popcorn. There's 20 guys who are ready to run out and get popcorn for him.
Yeah, exactly. So Lane Kiffin says that, and then they get their doors blown. Did you see the Wilbon take on Kiffin?
Yes.
On
yes,
PTI yes. And the back and forth about that?
Yes, I did. Yeah,
all right.
I did.
Here's what Wilbon said about Lane Kiffin on PTI. Let me play it here. Sorry, it's a TV caliber
because
thing.
Of Lane Kiffin. The answer is Alabama because of Lane Kiffin. There's nothing to be proud of if you're a college footballer or any other sport but Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin's a clown. Lane Kiffin has been an embarrassment at multiple stops. I mean, nobody's going to run out there and say, yeah, I want Lane Kiffin right here on the logo representing me. The answer's Alabama, Tony. Lane Kiffin's a cute little story for guys like us who have to talk about sports every day. And we can come in Monday and say, ha, 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 Lane Kiffin. Once again, Lane Kiffin equals embarrassment at some point wherever he is.
Okay. So there was the take. Now, the pre-take from before the game was, hey, you know, Wilbon's got some kind of outdated thoughts on Lane Kiffin because he did rehabilitate himself as a coordinator under Nick Saban. He did go to what school in Florida was it? South Florida? The Owls of Florida Atlantic. He went 26-13 in 3 years at Florida Atlantic, and now he's turned Ole Miss into something semi-relevant. Is he a clown, though? Maybe Wilbon's take is correct. Maybe Wilbon turned out being right. Either way, Kiffin saw the riff and then felt the need to respond to it with the whole, wow, why so much hate? I'll pray for you. Life is short to be so angry.
Yeah.
Score this one, Andy. Score this whole kerfuffle.
Look, Wilbon is mostly correct. Now, he, as far as him saying nobody wants him to represent their school, that's not true. He continues to get jobs, and his name is being prominently mentioned for the USC job.
Oh, people
want him.
Really?
But, you know.
Back to USC, where he was famously left on the tarmac.
Understood. Right. Yeah, that's right. He was fired on the tarmac. But. When it comes to this kind of thing, he shows that he goes to a school. He's somewhat Billy Martin-ish in that he goes there, things get good right away, and then he's gone. You know, Lane Kiffin was actually pushed out the door while Alabama was getting ready to play for the national championship. That doesn't happen unless there's some mishigas going on.
Right.
And so, Wilbon is mostly correct in that. I think Lane Kiffin wasn't smart to respond to it. Wilbon wins that round, I would say.
Okay, I think you're pretty much right. I would say that Kiffin is like College Glanville.
Okay.
College Glanville. He is a interesting novelty act that you will get enticed by, but he is not some next-level winner.
Right. I would agree with that. Yeah. He has yet to prove that he can have a team that's in the national championship, and he's had some high-profile jobs. I mean, he's had, you know, Tennessee,
USC, and a little team called the Oakland Raiders.
Right. Yeah. At, like, age 35.
I know. It's incredible. Here was the popcorn-ready thing with who was the sideline reporter that was doing it. Doesn't matter. Here's the audio of it.
You had a page of notes from your time here to reference back as to what bothers a Nick Saban coach team. What's on the backside of that piece of paper to tell you about today?
Well, let's hope we didn't run out of pages. So here we go. Get your popcorn ready.
Well, what's the big thing?
Whoa.
He just throws the headset. The great Jamie Erdahl with that interview right there. So let's pivot, Andy, to one Urban Meyer. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Somebody said on Twitter, they're like, why is Urban Meyer trending? Never good to be trending. So somebody at a bar took a video of Urban Meyer, head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, wearing a pink Ohio State quarter zip, absolutely hammered looking with narrow eyes at a bar with young 20-somethings, females, one of which was grinding on his lap while he sat at the bar with his hands sort of not visible between his legs as she just ground into him. It is a terrible look for an NFL head coach, in my opinion.
Not only that, did you see what Shelly Meyer put out to somewhat defend her husband?
Exactly. She said, meanwhile, I'm back home babysitting the grandkids. And she put a picture of her giving the grandkids a bath, saying, my guy needed a night out.
Yeah, well, I don't think she expected quite the night out that Herb had, did she?
Well, here's what I'm trying to piece together. Did her tweet come out after she saw what was being posted about Urban Meyer grinding away?
Oh, I would think so.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Why would she find it necessary?
Maybe it was simultaneous, is my point. Yeah, but at the same time. I have no idea.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I mean, well, what would prompt her to want to put that out?
I don't know.
Yeah, why would she advertise to the country that Herb went out by himself? You know what it reminded me of? It's like
Jay Gruden.
It's like the former high school star quarterback. He's gone off to college. Yes. He's not playing college football anymore. And he shows up at the homecoming dance, and he's like all over the freshman girls there. You know, the fact that he showed up wearing a Ohio State sweatshirt was really kind of schmucky.
He wasn't wearing Jaguars gear, was he?
Right. Like, you know, so I'm back at my old high school where I was a big star and everybody loved me. And never mind that I'm with a team that's horrendous now and I'm an embarrassment. The team's an embarrassment. I'm going back to high school where I was a star. And man, if I want to grind with a good looking girl at the bar, I'm entitled to do that.
Yeah. Alcohol is a hell of a thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It prevents you from thinking about, hold on a second. I have a reputation as, you know, I mean, I'm a head coach in the NFL. I'm married. Yeah. I have daughters. This is not going to look good. You know, I can pose for a photo with a young female because obviously people want pictures with famous people, but I better not look hammered. I don't get to be hammered in public.
All right. Yeah. Doesn't he not know that everybody has a cell phone now?
Right.
He can take video of that. Everybody?
Right. He gets to be hammered in semi-public. He gets to be hammered in the back room with dudes playing poker after a round of golf at some high-end private country club. He can be hammered in other places. But you don't – this is going – and, of course, being 0-4 in the NFL is always never fun. And then he's – do you think he'll last beyond this year?
I don't think he'll be fired. I think he'll leave, but I don't think he'll be fired.
Okay, if he leaves, I asked this question on my show Friday. I said, what is the bitch line with Urban Meyer? In other words, at what point does he have to surpass his tenure at Jacksonville to not be seen as a total bitch for just coming, taking the money, and then leaving the moment it got hard? I say 1 year. He's got to make it to training camp of next summer.
Well, then that's 2 years. I mean, he doesn't resign.
Okay. Well, whatever. He has to make it past 1 year. Otherwise, I think he goes down as one of the biggest bitches in coaching history. He might be a bigger bitch than, say, Bobby Petrino, who didn't have the credentials of Urban Meyer, didn't have the history of not being able to see things through, and didn't have as good a quarterback, young quarterback, as Trevor Lawrence could be.
Well, so far,
he quit.
Yes, and he's more the clubhouse leader because he had that incredibly embarrassing incident in Arkansas when he got in the motorcycle accident with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And married at the time.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just talking about this with, you know, up here in Wisconsin, Bo Ryan, head basketball coach.
Right.
Had to resign because he was having an affair with a trainer, a 28-year-old trainer.
That's a different one in that he was like an older guy. That came out of nowhere.
I know.
Urban Meyer, he's in his 50s. Bo was pushing 70, right?
I don't think he was pushing 70. Bo had an older school look to him for sure. You know, he looked like an old mafia type. But you know what? It goes back to my saying, Andy. pussy is undefeated. You can have all the money, all the fame, and you can know in your mind, like, I'm not allowed to do this. And you do it anyway. It's amazing. Here's a funny meme already on the internet. Statement from Urban Meyer. It's got Jacksonville Jaguars logos and colors on it. Quote, I want to apologize to my wife, Shelly, my children, to the Jaguars organization. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. And there's a drive and a deep left field by Castellanos, and that'll be a home run. So that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. Oh, it's the Tom Brenneman meme. Oh, my God. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Winning season is rolling at MyBookie, and this week, entries are now open for the Winner Take All Super Contest. MyBookie is the only sportsbook that offers online super contests, so you can't miss out on this exclusive promotion. Enter now and turn $10 into $10,000. Weeks 5 through 8, make 5 picks against the spread. Get them right, earn points, and rise up the standings to take home the $10,000 grand prize. Packers, Bucks, Titans, Vikings, Ravens, boom, you're already set. And if you need another reason to head to mybookie.ag, to celebrate the start of the MLB playoffs, MyBookie is hosting a $20,000 blackjack tournament that is absolutely free to enter. Winning season is here, so get in on the game and get to mybookie.ag now. Use my promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and when you make your first deposit at MyBookie, you'll receive double your deposit. That's promo code ZABE, so you can double your funds to double your winnings. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, that said, what happened to your Terps on Friday night?
This is a familiar story. Reminded me of what happened with Penn State 2 years ago. They got off to a pretty good start in the year, and you have this Friday night game, and it's all hyped, and everybody wears black.
Blackout game, yeah.
Yeah, and boy, they got blacked out early, didn't they?
Yeah, Iowa just ripped them limb from limb. Thria Tungavailoa, as I call him, Talia, you know, Thria, the third one, threw six picks.
Five,
and then somebody else threw another one, right?
Yeah.
So
seven, seven turnovers in the game.
Seven turnovers. Did you go to the game, Andy?
No.
A little too late, too much traffic. Were you ready to go tailgate in the parking lots before the game? Because apparently that was a big to-do leading up to the game for Maryland. Biggest game in years. They felt like they had the guns to hang in there against Iowa. And apparently the university was like, well, we're not going to open the parking lots till 4 o'clock. Which was apparently too late for some people's taking.
Well, that is too late. That's ridiculous.
Why?
Because if you're going to be...
Game was at 8.
Understand. But you talk to people who go to games at LSU, and LSU almost always plays their home games at night. They start tailgating at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
You're in the state of Wisconsin, where I have tailgated with my daughter for
all
a 5 o'clock game at 11 a.m.
Right.
So if you're going to be running with the big tall dogs in the big grass, you got to be able to have your tailgate start early. And 4 o'clock for an 8 o'clock game is too late for me.
Well, and that gets to the point of big time program.
Right.
Maryland
is
just not big time.
No,
they play in a big time conference. They cash big time cable TV revenue checks from the Big Ten. They want to think that they're in that mix. But my God, 51-14 later, and parking lots not open till 4. You ain't it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know whether they would have beaten Iowa, but and Mike Locksley seems like a nice fella, but he's an excellent recruiter. There's no denying that. He built great programs at places like Illinois where they hadn't had success before for another coach. But as a head coach, he hasn't been very good. He was a disaster at New Mexico, and his teams have been okay, but not that good here. So I don't know what he's going to do with all this talent. This wouldn't be a shock, and this happened with Ron Vanderlinden, who was apparently a pretty good recruiter. They got rid of him, and they brought in Ralph Regan, and he had three straight 10-win seasons with Vanderlinden's talent.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if at some point he's pushed out the door and they have some success. But I have my doubts about him as a head coach. There's no doubt about him as a recruiter. But as an actual game tactician, I don't know how good he is.
I tried to explain to Wisconsin people here about Maryland. I said, you got to understand that the university is wedged inside the Beltway in a very developed area. So when you're talking about tailgating, a lot of people can't because they're parking in a parking garage.
Right.
ain't no tailgating inside a garage. I'm like, it's totally different than most Midwest or rural college campuses that have ample space to tailgate around the stadium.
Look at the eastern cities, Boston, Philadelphia, New York. Are any of those big-time college football towns? No.
No, they're not.
No,
yeah.
It's places like, well, when Nebraska was good, I don't know what's happened to them since, but, you know, where people, where they get, you know, 85,000 for the spring game, that's a different ball game. And the unusual thing about this area, the Washington, D.C. area, is that it's a big-time college basketball town.
New York
is not big for college basketball. Philadelphia, to some degree, with the success that Villanova has had. Boston, not the case.
Yeah.
So in many ways, it's unusual that it's big for college basketball, but I'm not surprised that it's not a college football town.
With the baseball season coming into port, games 162 today across the league, I had to play this soundbite courtesy of at Back After This. Mike Francesa, after the Mets open the year 1-0.
Mike in Albany, what's up, Mike? Yes, Mike.
Hello?
Yes, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, Mike? First time, long time. I'm just watching the Met game here. Syndergaard looked great, unfortunate, with the blister on his hand.
Right.
So I'm thinking they can go 162-0 this year.
Okay, that's good. That's a very bright call. Joe in Delaware, what's up, Joe?
Hey, Mike, first time, long time.
What's happening?
I thought today's game was great. Just wondering what you think our chances are going undefeated.
Oh, I think they're wonderful. Really, it's going to happen. Can you give me the last three times it's happened in baseball? You know, line them all up for me.
Can't think of one.
Okay, good.
So the Mets fell short of the elusive 162-0. That said, you have two incredible teams out west in the NL. Both over 100 wins easily, the Dodgers and the Giants, and one of them could be out of the playoffs in one and done. How do you feel about the current format of the one and done wild card?
Well, I like the wild card games. I think they're very exciting. And, you know, I think it also addresses that you have to do well in the regular season. Look, we've had, before the wild card, we had circumstances where the team with like the second best record in the league wouldn't get into the playoffs at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, look, go both ways. Washington has a pennant as a championship because they won a wild card game in the most unusual way. And I know I'm picking at a scab there in Milwaukee.
They are still bitter about that up here. And I try to say to them, that was not your best team. Your best team was the year before that loss to the Dodgers in Game 7 at home of the NLCS.
Right. But you had the unhittable closer in the game, and he was hit. And that's just the way it goes.
And was it Travis Grisham, the rookie in right, who misplayed the ball?
Yeah,
Tough deal there. Baseball is tough like that. Okay, so you would not change the format, even though the 105-win Dodgers, still a game back. I guess they can tie today. The Giants, the Dodgers beat the Brewers last night, and they're one game back still in this final game of the season. So you're fine with a 105-win team being one and done if they have a bad night.
Well, do you want to have everybody 24 of 7?
No. Well, I mean, a part of me says I guess you got three divisions, so I'm not sure how you'd do it. You'd have one wild card, and the wild card would be in for a full best of five. I would actually be better off, and I know they wouldn't do this because they don't have the season left and the dates on the calendar left to do it. I'd love to see the NL and ALDSs be seven games.
Yeah, well, but that's...
Not really.
I mean, to me, one and done in sports is great. That's what makes the NCAA tournament so great. That's what makes pro football so great. You know, one and done, it matters.
One and done is great in a sense, but it's not great when a team has earned more of a look in the postseason through 105 wins. Like, I wouldn't want to – like, you could say we'll make the whole playoffs one and done and include every team in Major League Baseball. But that would make the regular season irrelevant, wouldn't it?
How about this? Prior to 1969, baseball didn't have divisions. You had the American League, and you had the National League. You want to do that again? You could do that.
We could. We could go backwards on that. You know, they're gonna water down the NFL and the playoffs as soon as they can, as soon as they can get to 18 games. And by the way, we wake up on a Sunday morning for week four of the NFL with injuries littering the league. Right. Not just at quarterback, but all over the place. And an 18-game schedule is only going to make that worse.
Guess what? 18 games is coming. And I was watching – Bob Costas has a new show that's on once a month on HBO. And he had Demaurice Smith on. And he made some kind of comment about the 17-game schedule, which really pissed off Demaurice Smith.
Ooh.
And he went into this big defense of how they got $1 billion extra to play this 17th game. Well, the owners are going to just do that again. They're going to say, hey, here's $1 billion. Who wants $1 billion?
And then they carve it up. It's like a big plate of cookies for the players. And by the time the players get their cookies, they're like, that's it? Yeah, you get one cookie. It looks like a lot, but when you split it up amongst yourselves, it's not very much.
You go, hey, Raj, we got an extra bill down in the warehouse there. Yeah, we're going to put it out for the players and see if they eat it.
In the NBA, the Ben Simmons thing is coming to a head here as we get closer to the NBA season starting. He's vowing to continue his holdout. The Sixers, in theory, Andy, could start docking his pay.
Right.
And there's some question, you know, I saw one report that said Simmons and his agent believe they'll end up getting all of their money eventually when he's traded. Maybe this is the time in which a team doesn't trade a guy like this, and they do start clawing his money back.
Yeah, but then you've got the other players on the team who are saying, hey, you know, we're a championship-caliber team.
Oh, they're already pissed at him. Right. You know, apparently, Embiid is already firing on him, saying, you know, what the hell, man?
Look, I mean, the money that's in the NBA is so insane. Did you see the numbers for the Bradley Beal extension? He's in the second year of a $72 million deal. And they have just offered him, as they were eligible to do on Friday morning, the max, which is $181.5 million for 4 years, meaning he would be only 32 years old, will have collected about $45 million a year for the next 4 years. And I'll think about it. I'll think about it.
Yeah. So he hasn't yet signed it.
No. Wow. Because he wants to see how good this team is going to be because he has the ability to opt out at the end of the year. Yeah.
And make
he can
more.
Leave it. Yeah. Make more. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
He was given the max, but won't get the vax, Andy.
There you go. There's your headline.
I love how some of the writers are like, with this vaccine thing, who is Brad Beal? Really? Do we know who he really is?
Well, I understand from the perspective of people who have covered him because everything he's done and said up until this point has been, oh, yeah, that's great, of course. Oh, that's wonderful. What great leadership, loyalty. You know, so this is the first, Yeah.
Yeah, but not everybody thinks it's something that you're like, oh, this is bad.
Okay, but everything else he's done, nobody would say when Bradley Beal says loyalty and leadership, nobody would say, oh, that's bad, right?
You're right. It's the first thing that's caused anybody to go, oh, wait a minute. Yeah. I thought this guy was perfect.
Yeah, whether you agree with the vax or not, there are some who
he had made no public missteps in the eyes of some up until now. Some don't think it's a misstep. Some actually applaud it. But yes, I understand what you're saying. The thing is about when it comes to we don't know who he really is. We don't know who any of these guys really
are. In the post OJ world, absolutely. Do you know how beloved OJ was prior to 1994?
Yes. I lived it. I was 16 years old in 84. I had hair and a gleam in my eye and 34-inch wet pants. I was going to take the world out, Andy. Yeah, OJ. Yeah. OJ was on NBC as a color commentator. He was the lead spokesman for Hertz. Yeah. He was the man. He was, as the 30 for 30 on him pointed out, he was like Mr. Black Athlete for White People America.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the when most people heard that he was a suspect,
impossible.
OJ can't be a suspect.
That nice guy, the smiling guy that hurdles businessman going to his rental car, can't be. Real quick, speaking of guys that you're like, don't know that guy. Did you see that Kyle Kuzma, now of the Wizards, has changed his number?
Yes.
He used to wear 0 with the Lakers. He's changed it to 33. And when asked why, he said, and this caused me to shoot milk out my nose, out of respect for Gilbert Arenas.
Yes, I saw that.
Are you fucking kidding me?
When did he become Jerry West? Oh, my God.
There's no respect to be given to Gilbert Arenas.
No.
Gun-toting asshole he is. An absolute jackass.
Right.
Oh, well. He could wear 00, but I don't think the league allows 00.
So. No, they've had it before. They've had a couple of players.
Okay.
Yeah, Eric Montross, remember him?
The ultimate zero. Yeah. Okay. All right, Andy. As always, a pleasure. Enjoy the football today, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, Zeb. Take care.
There you go. All right, let's end on this today. A clown shortage now because of the pandemic? What? Apparently that's the case. We take you to Northern Ireland. It may seem like COVID-19 has revealed many clowns, but Northern Ireland circuses are actually experiencing a shortage of performers. And it's no laughing matter, says one expert. David Duffy, co-owner of Duffy Circus in Northern Ireland, told the BBC his business is in dire need of clowns because many performers in his circus returned to their home countries after the initial lockdown in the spring of 2020. They've been closed for more than 500 days as a result of lockdowns. With other nearby countries having reopened much earlier in the past few months, many of the clowns have returned to work, but they've returned to work elsewhere, not in Northern Ireland. Ireland decimates clown industry. Now he's appealing to new local recruits to try on the big red shoes and the big red nose. I know some clowns. Here. 1600 Pennsylvania. Oh, wait a minute. That's not the address of Congress. What would be the address of Congress? Address of Capitol Building. Exciting times here. Should have researched this. Which capital? Oh, I'm not going to find it. Now, bottom line is this. We got clowns. Oh, we got lots of clowns here. Lots of politician clowns. We'll send them to Northern Ireland, and you'll be good to go. That is a wrap for this morning. Thank you very much for listening. Sorry this is stale with no NFL content in it, but don't worry, the NFL content is coming tomorrow. You'll be one day late, but it'll be good. I'm going to enjoy the Packers and the Steelers at Lambeau Field, one of the iconic stadiums in all the world, and two of the most iconic franchises in the NFL, with Big Ben out there lumbering around, Mr. Beautiful Mystery for the Packers doing his thing, and hopefully me and my boys not getting rained on too much, as it looks like it's a possible wet afternoon at Lambeau Field. Full report tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Tell a couple friends. Rate and review as always. Keep the emails coming, good, bad, and everything in between at zabe@yahoo.com. And we will see you next time. Limonada Coco. Mami, confiésale que te rompí tu tonto. Y limonada Coco. Winning season is rolling at MyBookie, and this week, entries are now open for the winner-take-all Super Contest. MyBookie is the only sportsbook that offers online super contests, so you can't miss out on this exclusive promotion. Enter now and turn $10 into $10,000. Weeks 5 through 8, make 5 picks against the spread. Get them right, earn points, and rise up the standings to take home the $10,000 grand prize. Packers, Bucks, Titans, Vikings, Ravens, boom, you're already set. And if you need another reason to head to mybookie.ag to celebrate the start of the MLB playoffs, MyBookie is hosting a $20,000 blackjack tournament that is absolutely free to enter. Winning season is here, so get in on the game and get to mybookie.ag now. Use my promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and when you make your first deposit at MyBookie, you'll receive double your deposit. That's promo code ZABE, so you can double your funds to double your winnings. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.